There was a time, many lifetimes ago, that I entertained a great deal. Big parties, small intimate dinners, and everything in between. And then I stopped. Suddenly, I didn't even want to invite a friend in for a cup of tea. And I didn't understand what that was about. Thinking about it years later, I realized through divorce, remarriage, and considerable therapy that my life had changed. It'll do that, won't it? But many of my attitudes and assumptions had not. As a young wife and mother, I knew exactly what was expected of me. An immaculate home, bright, well-mannered children, setting a beautiful table, and making certain my husband never had a ring around the collar, which would have been a reflection on my laundry cleaning rather than his dirty neck. Anybody live through that, or were you all too smart to do that? Everything over which I had any control must look good and smell good, especially me. To fail to fulfill this criteria was to say that I was a bad wife, a bad housekeeper, a bad mother, all of which added up to a bad person. Martha reminds me of myself in those days, as I tried so fruitlessly to be that perfect mother, wife, hostess, person. I remember the migraines and the constant knot in my stomach. And I remember that I didn't know there was any other way to feel. Entertaining was exhausting, and worry and perfection eluded me. That's why I stopped doing it. It was just too hard. I wonder if Martha didn't feel much the same way. She was anxious and troubled about so many things, fretting and fussing, distracted. The King James Version of the Bible quotes Luke saying Martha was cumbered. What a wonderful word to describe Martha's condition as she prepared the meal while Sister Mary sat and listened. The story tells us that it was Martha who invited Jesus into her home. We don't know if Sister Mary lived there also or was just visiting. The story doesn't tell us how many guests there were. Was the rabbi of Nazareth traveling with all 12, or did they dine elsewhere while he visited with the women? Homes of that era were small and crude. They were without the amenities that we take for granted: electricity, gas, running water. Martha didn't have a microwave or a food processor. Even so, hospitality was the highest value. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, not for immoral behavior, as is often told, but rather for inhospitality. Inhospitality, the supreme sin in biblical days. So whether Martha was preparing for only 3 of them or 15, it was a difficult, burdensome task. She was cumbered. And she had to do it perfectly. As long ago as 1877, Harriet Beecher Stowe described Martha and women and men like her. They manage fairs, they dress churches, they get up religious festivals. Their names are on committees. How many of your names are on committees? You're going to have a clue what I'm talking about. They are known at celebrations. They rule their own homes with activity and diligence, and they are justly honored by all who know them. What Stowe failed to mention is that they are very, very tired. Many must have gone to their maker with a grateful gasp. The more things change, the more they stay the same. My heart goes out to Martha. I know her well. She and I are sisters from the same cloth. I like to think I overcome that super person syndrome, but in reality, I haven't made as much progress sometimes as I think I have. Even in retirement, I've managed to fill too many of my days and weeks with too many activities, as if I'm attempting to make up for my many years away. Yes, Martha and I are anxious about many things. Anxious to serve, to be valued, to gain acceptance, praise, affirmation through what we do rather than who we are. So many of us, like Martha, try to live up to whatever our vision is of what we should live up to. And so we learn to behave at social gatherings and get good grades and pour coffee without spilling it and go to work every day and do the job well, whether or not it brings us satisfaction. And we hide from one another behind the coffee pot or the chafing dish or the computer or the grade book or the accountant's lever. Wherever our corner is, we hide and we serve. We serve the family, the committee, the community, the school, the church. We enslave ourselves in the name of service. Better to stay in the kitchen where we know how to set the table, mash the potatoes, write the check, see the clients, balance the books, teach the course, perform the operation, sell the merchandise, dole out the company line. We leave our guests unattended. We don't go to worship or sit and visit and relax. Better to be distracted with the packages, the cookie jars, the computer, the coffee mugs, the peanut butter and jelly, the TV set, iPod, internet, shopping malls, and six-course meals, than to face each other fully present, imperfect, willing to touch and be touched. And we become angry and resentful and harsh and perhaps judgmental. Mary didn't do that. Mary didn't hide out in the kitchen. We don't know much about Mary from the story, only that she was Martha's sister and that she sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he said, to his teachings. I like to think that Mary did more than sit at Jesus' feet. She could well have been an active participant in the conversation, engaging in dialogue. But whatever was going on, Martha doesn't like it. Martha is not pleased. But does she tell Mary this? No, she speaks through Jesus. The more we learn of Martha, the more we see of ourselves. We don't say, "Mary, I'm really angry that I'm doing all the work, and you seem to be having all the fun, and I resent that." No, we do not directly confront our sister or brother or neighbor or friend who sits and enjoys while we shoulder the burden. Instead of talking directly to the person, we talk about that person to somebody else, going to and through a third person, creating triangles that devastate a community. "Don't you think it's appalling that Mary has left me to do all the work? Can't you do anything about it?" And how do we feel when we get a response similar to the answer that Martha got? Jesus did not say, "Mary, go help your sister." Neither, might I add, did he offer his own service. What he did was to observe Martha's anxiety, her fussing and fretting, and then he said something that gives us pause. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. Some translators say better or best portion. It's not uncommon for Unitarian Universalists to think that the Bible has no relevance for us today. Maybe none of you feel that way, but I've heard it around UU circles. Any writing that remains part of a culture for over two millennia does so because it speaks not only to its own time, but also to the ages. Or as Unitarian Theodore Parker put it, what Jesus said was true, not because Jesus said it, but because it was true. So what's the truth of Martha's story? What's the truth of Mary's better portion? What can it say to us today? One possibility is that the importance of service is limited, that distracted by so much serving, we are truly quite ineffective, that it is possible to lose our soul in service of so much useful activity. Dishes always need to be done. Reports always need to be written. Bills always need to be paid. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Martha, Martha, relax. Come be with us. Come give us a chance to know you. Martha, Martha, enough already. For as much as we are like Martha, we are also like Mary. As much as we need to do, we also need to be. As much as we need to serve, we need to be served. Both Mary and Martha have significant roles to play in full, satisfying lives. And what do we teach our children, scheduled from one moment to the next with soccer, football, scouts, music lessons, and on and on and on? How? When? Where? Do our children learn to just be, to discover their own truly authentic selves? The better portion, our place in heaven or earth, is not measured by how many meals we prepare or dishes we do or even how much money we make, but rather by the people we love, the acts of goodness we perform, the learning we take in and pass on, the hearts and souls that we nurture. I have to be intentional to relax my Martha. Doing is so much easier than being. But notice I say relax my Martha, not abandon her. I need her. Without Martha, I accomplish nothing. The Martha in me, in all of us, feeds, cleans, and clothes our bodies. She keeps the wheels greased and the economy churning. She makes sure that the table is set and the report is written and the laws are followed, and she gets me here ready to preach at 10:30 on those Sundays when I'm scheduled to preach. Yes, we need Martha, but to feed our souls, we need Mary. The other part of that story is that even though Martha asked Jesus to intervene, maybe it's that she was just more comfortable cooking and serving and entertaining. Maybe it was hard for her to sit and listen. Maybe it was Mary's gift to be with company. The thing is, the Martha in me, this is true confessions, the Martha in me also enjoys the opportunity to help because I'm not at all good with small talk. I just don't know how to do it. Not to imply that a meeting with Jesus was all about small talk, but there could have been some of that. And maybe Mary was just better at it. The thing about Martha is she's trying too hard to do too much. Hard to do too much, and probably for the wrong reasons. She may like to be in the kitchen. She may not be great at conversations. But what is certain is she's not having any fun. So, what are you doing because you should? Because if you don't, nobody will. I hear that a good bit around here, and you're right. As long as you keep on doing it, nobody else will. If you stop, maybe you'll give somebody else the opportunity to start. So mellow out, Martha. Nothing that any of us do is going to be perfect. That's why we're called human beings and not God. And Mary, wouldn't hurt for you to wash a dish now and again. We do all have gifts to bring, different gifts. The question is, what are yours? Your gifts, what do you do because you love it? Because it brings you joy. Keep on doing it. If it feeds your soul, keep on doing it. What do you do that does not bring you joy, does not feed your soul? Stop. Just stop. Unless, of course, you find particular pleasure in martyrdom, just stop. So I would love to have you come visit once I'm settled in my new home. Some of you may not know that I'm moving into Don and Susie's house. But I want to tell you, unlike the way Susie kept it, the house will not be spotless. The linens and crystal and china are likely to be paper and plastic. But unencumbered, we can break bread together and talk and perhaps even give up anxiety for a time. What is the better portion? Well, that depends on the viewfinder through which you look. It depends upon your point of view. I began to discover my Mary when I opened my bookstore. She grew as I went back to school and discovered how much I love learning and sitting at the feet of scholars and broadening my perspective. But even then, I didn't forget how to cook. I just took a reasonable place in my life. Of all things about which we are anxious and troubled, only one thing is needful: being. Being who we are, being who we are together, loving, respecting, and appreciating the Marthas within and among us, listening to and accepting the Marys within and among us. So may we all plant flowers and sing and dance, becoming whole, bringing the spirit of holiness to our time together. That cannot ever be taken away. Amen.